I'm Jacob Lewis. Neighbors is a part of Nashville Public Radio. That means your support for the station ensures that this show goes on. If you want to support Neighbors, the way to do it is by going to WPLN.org/give. You can give a one-time donation. You can become a sustaining member. Thank you so much for your support. That is WPLN.org/give. Hey everyone, Jacob here. This episode does contain one cuss word, but also some heavy subject matter about death. Just wanted you to know. This is a completely reworked version of an older story. I say that because if you've heard it before, this version is quite a bit different. All right, here we go. Sam Tucker's bakery has been a long time coming. He's been a baker in some form or fashion for about 25 years, but mostly working for other people. This morning, this big man with curly orange hair is hunkered over a stainless steel table, prepping his own creations for his own customers.
This is our biggest selling breakfast pastry. It's called a Goshen. It's a Danish pastry.
It looks really good.
We roll almonds, butter, cinnamon, sugar. It's basically a sticky bun.
This sticky bun is on the menu at Village Bakery and Provisions, Sam's place. It represents the end of a long and trying journey for Sam and his family. A resolution of sorts. Because to Sam, baking isn't just a job. No, it's more like a moral imperative. Like the way he sees it, he was put on this earth to provide people with quality baked goods. But turns out, the universe wasn't going to make that easy. Because the man who loves baking with every fiber of his being has a son.
Hi, I'm Samson Tucker. I'm 16 and a baker's son.
What is your condition? What does that mean? What is it?
Well, I have celiac disease. It's an autoimmune disorder. So whenever I have gluten, my immune system goes haywire and attacks my intestines. It's the most painful experience I've had in my life.
Security and safety at a dinner table, don't you think that's important? Know that you can eat everything that's on the table.
I'm Jacob Lewis, and you're listening to Neighbors, a show about what connects us. Today, the baker's son. How one man tries to get a disease to coexist with his passion, and just how much it cost him and his family. So, first things first. Yes, Sam's son is named Samson. I'm over at their house. Samson is a tall, lanky teenager with red hair like his dad. He's got freckles, wears glasses. He's muscular from football, yet he loves to sing in his high school choir. It's a school night, and he's hunkered over a pot, stirring it with a spoon.
And Samson, what are you doing?
I'm cooking water. Just kidding. It's a physics project.
It's not really cooking.
That voice is Samson's mom, Kelly. Everyone is in the kitchen just hanging out. They're pretty good at including Samson in creating family meals. But when his dad cooks for other people, that's different. I've been around Samson as customers compliment his dad on his pastries and pâtés. If it were me, I think I'd feel like an outsider a lot of the time.
I wouldn't say I'm not an outsider in some cases, but I think it's not bad to be an outsider.
Yeah. What do you mean by that?
Like, I don't want to have to worry about fitting in, because when I worry about fitting in is when I become the most awkward and excluded. Like, it's okay if I have to not eat the food that they're having, or like if I have to miss a party, like that's fine. And when I fully embody that attitude, that's when I can enjoy myself with people or by myself. And that's when I can truly, I don't know, it's just a much better place to be.
What do you think of your son?
what do I think of him? He's a much better version of me and Kelly, for sure.
To fully understand just how much celiac disease has cost Samson and his family, we need to go back to the beginning.
Samson had been a real happy baby.
This is Kelly Tucker, Samson's mom. She's sitting on a couch in her living room.
I'd always wanted to be a mommy and have lots of kids around.
So when she had Samson, she was thrilled. In those first years, she would hear him early in the morning.
woke up singing. Love that memory. He would sit up in his crib and just sing. And as he got a little older, he had some issues with digestive things that the doctors would say were, you know, don't give him so much juice. We didn't do a lot of juice. He gradually became a little less happy.
At around age 4, Samson was consistently feeling sick. He would double over in pain, holding his stomach.
I think there was, you know, I think there was a point at which I was afraid that he had some sort of, you know, intestinal cancer or something like that.
He became withdrawn and depressed and was saying some pretty intense things.
Like, I remember him saying at a family gathering, my mom was trying to pull him out and say, hey, you want to, you know, go play, go out in the yard, let's play kickball or something like that. And his response was, what difference does it make? I'm just going to die.
At 4 or 5?
Yeah.
Kelly and Sam took Samson to the doctor. They thought it might be something autoimmune related, so they did a blood test.
The blood test for him came back. It was inaccurate. The gastroenterologist she sent us to was really good, but he said, well, he probably needs more fiber. So we went and bought whole wheat and added gluten to vital wheat gluten to some of the baked things I made, thinking that was more, it wasn't really more fiber, but I, in my naivete, I thought that was going to be healthier.
After a few months on this diet, Samson was only getting worse. The doctor decided to do an endoscopic biopsy and actually stick a camera through Samson's mouth to see inside his GI tract.
He was diagnosed.
Samson had celiac disease, which meant that gluten was really bad for him.
It's the most painful experience I've had in my life.
Gluten is a protein. It's found in wheat. When you combine wheat flour with water, it's gluten that helps it become sticky and stretchy. It's what makes pastries crisp and artisan bread chewy. It was also a big problem for the Tucker household because flour was everywhere. At the time, part of Sam's job was to work a flour mill.
He'd come home from the mill room at Great Harvest covered in flour, and I had a dark blue interior on my little Honda, Toyota Celica. And he would get in the car and close the door, and when he'd open it back up, it would be covered in white from the flour he was wearing home.
I mean, did you, like, hose off outside? Did you take your clothes off outside?
No.
It was forbidden from washing my, you know, my glutinous clothes with anybody else's clothes.
So it's kind of like some separation in the house, like you had your pile of...
Yeah,
and I couldn't have bread in the house, my own glutinous bread in the house for the longest time, but now I have a special place where I store glutinous things for myself.
Can you show it to me?
It's that box right there, but there's nothing in there right now.
Can you open it for me? What, this thing?
Personal. Are you going to go through my personal
effects? Yeah,
here?
Yeah. If you let me.
All right. Right now it's just, that's all that's in there.
Just a couple bottles of beer.
I don't have any bread in there right now. I'm out.
Nice. So it's your little daddy cabinet.
Yeah, well, we call it the man box. Daddy cabinet sounds perverse.
Once we got the diagnosis or the prognosis of celiac, it was a relief for us, actually, because we could, you know what it is, deal with it, and move ahead.
They changed Samson's diet immediately. They read labels, cooked mostly at home, and he started to feel better. Samson finally had some childhood zest. He got into martial arts. He would challenge friends to push-up contests. He was a kid who enjoyed life. And Kelly, who always wanted a big family, thought it time Samson had a sibling. But after trying for a season, she wasn't getting pregnant.
I was older then, a little bit old for wanting to be a mom again, and was told that, unfortunately, I might probably wouldn't get pregnant. And then we decided to pursue adoption. We're really looking into that, really getting to the point where we were ready to start the process, and I got pregnant all of a sudden.
Kelly was ecstatic. Meanwhile, she was still raising Samson, so she was trying to eat just like him whenever they were together.
Because, you know, it would help at dinner time.
But shortly after getting pregnant, she got her first bout of morning sickness. It was much worse than she remembered with Samson. She kept feeling bad and started to notice a pattern.
It seemed to be associated with some of the stuff I would eat at work at lunchtime that I wasn't eating around Samson.
She thought, what if maybe she had celiac disease too? She went to her primary care doctor, who kind of told her not to worry about it. He said there are too many false positives and discouraged her from taking the test. Remember, this was a little before the gluten-free trend in America. So she went to her obstetrician. They said even if it was true, they didn't think it would affect the baby. But of course, they would watch and see if the baby wasn't getting enough nutrients. This calmed Kelly's fears.
And so I didn't get tested. I just quit eating gluten in case it was going to be bad for the baby and because it felt better to me. Because of my age, they did the standard Down's testing in the middle of the pregnancy. And that came back a little higher risk than average for my age. We were about 4 weeks out from my due date. He was not big. I tried not to worry because my tendency is to worry. So tried to put that aside and did pretty well. And then at 36 weeks, I realized one day I hadn't really felt him kicking. Just wasn't feeling much at all. So I did the things they told us generally to do, drink a Coke or orange juice.
The increased blood sugar is supposed to make the baby move.
I think it was late at night, so I waited till the next morning and ended up going to the emergency room at Baptist.
Just because of you weren't feeling anything?
Yeah, because I couldn't get any movement. I couldn't feel any movement. I couldn't make the baby move. And they cannot find a heartbeat. And so that was really hard because we'd been really, I especially had really wanted to have another child. And we felt like somebody was missing in the family. I mean, for 2 or 3 years, we just kind of felt like there's supposed to be another Tucker to share this. And somebody's not here yet.
Did you see him?
We did. We delivered the baby and he was small, but we did get to hold him.
The death of their son could have been related to gluten and having undiagnosed celiac disease. But the truth is, there's no way to really know. Sam and Kelly's pastor helped them find a cemetery near them, which gives free burial plots to families with stillborn children. They got a casket, had a funeral.
That was healing. It was hard. But we had family came from out of town even, and friends were there with us. It was a big thing for our whole family. It was really hard, really meaningful. And we named him Isaac Luke, which kind of ironically means, Isaac means laughter. We were happy. We were so happy when we found out about him. And Luke means light. And that was Samson's pick because Samson was really into Luke Skywalker, Star Wars.
Hear how the Tuckers coped with this loss and just what they did about gluten after the break. Hey, so at Nashville Public Radio, we've been busy cranking out a lot of new podcasts. I want to let you know about one that is on its brand new second season, that is Versify. They take a storyteller, sit them down with a poet, and their conversation is recorded. And that's when the magic happens. The poet goes off and writes a poem about the person's story, then comes back and shares it. It's great storytelling mixed with great poetry. Season 2 is all about moments of impact. Subscribe now to Versify at podcasts.wpln.org or wherever you get your shows. Kelly, to this day, has never gotten tested for celiac disease, but has chosen to avoid wheat altogether, even if there's just trace amounts from manufacturing. After losing Isaac Luke, Sam and Kelly never had any more kids. If it were me, I think after that I would have done anything in the world besides baking. But for Sam, it was what he was good at, and quite frankly, what he knew. He really wanted to find a way to use his passion in a way that wouldn't harm his family anymore, but that would also provide for them. So he turned his baking energy toward gluten-free breads. He discovered different techniques to make a good crumb and crust. He got really into it, in hopes that he might make a business of it someday. But for the short term, it became a way to pass on his love of baking to his son.
Yeah. He makes
Pat-a-shoe. What?
Pat-a-shoe.
Pat-a-shoe?
Pat-a-shoe. Yeah, not shoe like what you wear on your feet, but C-H-O-U-X. And it's what you use to make eclairs or cream puffs.
They would make it and use it as hamburger buns.
And this was a great moment for us because he realized that he had options and that he could make his own bread. It's a good vehicle for hamburger and Samson because we crammed it with Gruyere cheese. The cheese was off-putting to him at first, and he said, "Dad, it smells like a fish butt."
Fish butt buns.
So he called them fish butt buns.
A couple years after teaching Samson how to make fish butt buns, Sam decided to take this thing to the next level and have a go at a gluten-free baking business. He got a partner and started a company
called Fat Jack's. That was an all gluten-free thing. And it wasn't a retail place. It was just like we made gluten-free bread and sold it to grocery stores. And that was so cool.
It was almost as if everything was solved for the Tuckers. Sam could bake. He didn't come home covered in wheat flour. Samson could even help out. But there was a problem. Sam is a purist. His passion borders on stubbornness. He had a disagreement with his business partner on ingredients. Sam wanted to use the highest quality, in his view, make nourishing whole food. His partner wanted to compromise on some of the ingredients so they could lower their costs. Here's how Sam describes it.
Let's just make this like polyvinyl chloride in a Chrysler factory. You know, there's an assembly line thing and there's no real respect for it and there's no soul to it.
This seemingly perfect fit turned out to be not perfect for Sam. He quit. And then something very unexpected happened. Around the same time, a storm flooded the Tucker's house, and they didn't have any flood insurance. They needed money fast, so he went back to working any restaurant job he could get. He went through several of them, and in many of them would come home covered in flour. This return to baking to make ends meet came with another cost for him and his family.
You want some chocolate?
Yeah. Always.
Sam and I are at his new bakery. I asked him about the difficulties of doing this kind of work.
Kelly's put up with a lot of shit. A whole lot of Valentine's days where I'm just gone. A whole lot of anniversaries that were postponed or not served well. A whole lot of New Year's Eve where I'm standing in a kitchen with a glass of champagne in one hand and a mop in the other while she's at home. She had to put up with a whole lot of failure from me. May I have one of those half sheets?
After all those years of missing out on so much, Sam heard there was a space opening up at the Nashville Farmers Market. After some encouragement from others, he started to think, what would it be like to open up his own place? A place where he could make all the food he's so passionate about. A place where he wouldn't have to compromise on any ingredients, including wheat. And yet also a place where he could include his family in ways that were safe.
Rather than view this as like a turning my back on my family, it's more of a just kind of pulling everything together and being able to take all the things that I've been trained to do over the years and put them in one place so that I can do it on my own terms. And doing it on my own terms means that I can find a way to include Samson and Kelly in it.
They actually help Sam out at the bakery. Samson wears gloves and knows if Sam is about to work with flour and it might be airborne, he needs to get out, go for a walk.
Even if we can't eat the bread, like I still know all the breads and I can kind of describe them and we can talk about like business figures and things, you know?
And Kelly, who had to take care of Samson alone a lot of the time, who lost a child, who lives with the question of why this all happened, she's come to some level of acceptance of the tension this has all caused.
Yeah. There's been some real obvious, real strange kind of tensions in his life. He's a baker. Gluten is not necessarily evil. Thought it was for a long time, but now I think it might help pay for my child's college and high school, for that matter. And I hope that this is a time when it's being resolved and he can be less... He can feel less like he's over there and we're over here, because I think he felt that some for a while, both because of the gluten thing and because he was always working and we were home. So
I'm going to end this story with a completely new character. It's my friend Chance. He's good friends with the Tuckers and was at an event recently where Sam catered.
Samson walks over and says, "Dad, what desserts did you make?" And Sam is going through, like, "I made this and this and this." And then he reaches over and he pulls out this small pastry box and hands it to Samson and goes, "And I put this together for you and Mom before I left work." So even in the middle of everything else he had to do, Sam made sure that there was some kind of provision made so that Samson and Kelly wouldn't miss out on all the goodness. And maybe that's... maybe that's one of the important things about Samson. He knows that he matters.
Neighbors is produced by me, Jacob Lewis, with production assistance from Caleb Shiver, and for this story, Bailey Robbins. Editing by Rob McGinley-Myers, Emily Siner, and Mac Linewall. Also, I have to mention that since the original airing of this episode, Village Bakery and Provisions is no longer in the Nashville Farmers Market. It is now wholesale only at another place. They just do breads and pastries, which is a big bummer because they used to have this amazing pâté and soup and this sweet potato hash that has like a poached egg that would... oh my gosh, it was so good. So, that's a big bummer. Some music in this episode is by Poddington Bear. Neighbors is also a member of The Herd. We're an audio collective of really amazing producers. We've now been mentioned in The New Yorker twice, just saying. Check out the producers and their work at theherdradio.com. That's H-E-A-R-D. I'm Jacob Lewis, and I'm reminding you to get to know your neighbors.
If you have the choice of a glutinous cookie, yeah, or a cookie that's void of gluten, what's your preference?
Well, I think there's no substitute for wheat in bread. Those two prolamines work together, gliadin and glutenin, that make what we call gluten. There are ways that you can sort of manufacture what they achieve in bread, in the crumb and the crust and taste, but it's just a difficult machine to manipulate.
Okay, imagine the bass player for the Grammy Award-winning band The Avett Brothers sitting in a room with a mic. Now, next to him is a historian who was a Fulbright Fellow in Russia and is also a stand-up comedian. Now, imagine they're hosting a podcast breaking down history, trying to make sense of how we got to our present moment. Well, that's a real thing. Bob Crawford and Ben Sawyer host the podcast The Road to Now. If you want to understand the present by looking to the past, subscribe to The Road to Now wherever you get your shows.